Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Jake.
And I'm Josh.
And today we are watching episode 361, Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue, episode 23, Yesterday Again.
It aired on September 30th, 2000, written by Judd Lynn and Jackie Marchand, who are just on a tear with writing these episodes.
I think it's just them, except for the last episode had John Fletcher for half of it.
Yeah, Judd Lynn stepped out last episode.
He had to take a nap.
directed by iFlow.
Oh, Florentine. Isaac Florentine from Bridge of Dragons. Own Isaac
Bridge
Florentine?
Bridge of Dragons himself. He is the bridge.
The bridge betwixt dragons.
And also the dragons.
He's both?
Yep.
What can't he do?
It's the Bridge of Dragons. I just assumed it was made out of the dragons.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's not bridging dragons. It's just someone's like, hey, we've got all these extra dragons. What do we do? I don't know, make a bridge? Sounds good to me. If you're new here, what we do is we pause the recording, we go watch an episode of Power Rangers, we come back and we talk about it, and you can follow along if you got Netflix or the DVDs, and you should, because Lightspeed Rescue rules.
It's very good.
I think you'll like it. I am liking it, so you could too, maybe.
I recommend it. You should watch.
We're going to go watch it now. I don't know how to get out of this tailspin. Rescue ready!
We're back, and we just watched Yesterday Again, and now we're back, and we just watched Again.
Josh, I thought this was a simulation. It feels so
sometimes
much the same.
Simulation, it could be very disorienting and feel real.
Oh, we already did the whole podcast, now we have to do it again?
That means we did it bad.
All right, well, let's try again. Morphingrid.tumblr.com is a website, you know all the deal. Patreon.com/HeyJakeAndJosh, the only other important one. Actually, that first one I said isn't really important right now. Patreon.com/HeyJakeAndJosh is, though, you go there, you donate a little bit, you get some neat stuff in return, and we really appreciate it. You guys know the deal with Patreon, and we already said this, and you probably already heard it in the first pass through the episode. So we're just going to try to, like, muscle through this one. Here's something we forgot to talk about, though, in the first part. Also, back to two a week, so we're not doing any extra stuff, except for this news, because we got to get it out now.
News does not count for extra stuff.
Yes. Breaking news. Power Rangers 25th anniversary. 3 returning Rangers, maybe more.
I did. The IGN article that I read said more to be revealed later.
That's the one I have now.
Okay.
And I will tell you a little bit about it now, gentle listener. If you haven't, that sentence was going to go somewhere else, but it couldn't, and so I did my best, okay? I'm doing my best out here, Josh. I'm so mad about this article. So, 3 Rangers are coming back, definitely. More to be revealed later. We don't know who they are, but I'm sure by the time this episode goes live, the more will be revealed. As is our curse.
As is tradition here at every Hey Jake and Josh podcast.
Yeah. So, Tommy's coming back, duh.
Obviously.
He's the Green Ranger, he's coming back. Jason Found is coming back. Time Force Red, Wes on Time Force, who rules. He's amazing. Super happy about that. My fave is coming back. Catherine Sutherland. Now, that's very cool, but here's a couple problems I have right off the bat. Number one, she's turbo. Tommy gets to be the Green Ranger.
Yep.
Why is she turbo?
Well,
Josh,
I have one theory about this, and it's that they're going to have one from each season, and they had someone else from Zeo already.
Here's the thing. The only person that it works for is if Steve Cardenas is coming back as Turbo Blue.
Yes.
Michael from Ranger Danger and I were talking about this today. Tanya was also Turbo Yellow, and if they give her Zeo and make Cappy Turbo, I'm gonna pick up Saban's house and throw it into the sun.
I have one, not counter argument, but one that I also want to submit to the courts.
Okay.
Tommy is Mighty Morphin, so Adam might be Zeo.
I accept your terms. I don't like your terms. Why couldn't they make him be Turbo? His character wasn't assassinated in Turbo like Cats was.
That is very true. I think if they were going to do cat, it should have been Zio, because that's the best cat.
It's the best cat, and it's my favorite ranger. Her, specifically Cat in Zio, the like, her Mighty Morphin stuff is also amazing, and Zio is my favorite. Her in Turbo is just, hey, Justin's mom. But also, we won't give her anything to do.
Yeah.
Except to come in and go, oh, Justin, are you okay? That's it. That's her whole character arc. And then she leaves. And it sucks.
And now she's back.
And here's the other thing I hate about this, that I think this is maybe is more upsetting to me than the fact that they made her Turbo. So Morphin Legacy is a Power Rangers website. Maybe more. I don't exactly know. No shade on them. It's just I'm not super familiar. But Shannon retweeted this, and it's the same details from IGN, just like their version of it. But they also have three other pictures, sort of. So there's a picture of the three of them. There's Tommy was in his green. It's really olive.
Tommy Oliver is in that olive jacket.
Clever.
But he definitely has the gold morpher with the dragon coin in it. I zoomed in to check.
Yeah, I am looking at it right now. Then there's Jason Fount in his hot dad sweater. Just being a hot dad. Like,
that's fair.
Cool and great.
These are the same pictures as the one of the three of them,
then,
just cropped in.
Then you go over on the picture of the three of them, and there is Catherine Sutherland. She's looking like a mom, because she is. She's older now. She's like in her 40s, probably about as old as Jason David Frank, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
She's got her dumbass turbo morpher, which I'm mad about. And I like the turbo morpher. It looks like she's using it wrong. Josh, do you want to confirm that that's not where the key goes?
Let me look.
It looks like she's trying to unscrew the bottom of it, because the key goes at the top. So maybe that's why they didn't go with this picture. Instead, they went with the picture described by Shannon Maynor as looking like her character has not been unlocked yet.
They went outside to shoot, and the sun was behind them, but they didn't bring any lights, and so they just took a picture of her.
They didn't bring any lights? Or turn around?
Nope. No, they couldn't do that. No, she had to be in shadow. That was like a pre-reveal shot of like, oh, which ranger could this
who could
be?
It be? But like, it's the worst photo of... Number one, her, that you could probably find. And number two, the three of them. Why did the dudes just get a close-in crop? I know she's not using the key right. I know she's trying to unscrew the bottom and not the keyhole. But still, at least you can see her face in the picture about how Kat's back in Power Rangers for the first time in 15, 20 years. I'm so mad.
Someone also said, I'm not sure who it was, that it's especially weird because in the Morphin Legacy game, what's the game? Power Rangers Legends?
Power Rangers.
On mobile?
I think it's Morphin Legacy. Legacy Wars.
Yeah, Legacy Wars. She is in that as Pink Zio.
Yeah, it was, I believe it was Tanner, said, like, she's in that as Zio, and she has some kick-ass Captain America moves with her shield, which is the best possible thing you could do with her.
Yeah, so it says she's going to drive fast.
So she's going to drive fast and be a mom.
She can't even use the morpher right. She's such a mom.
She's like my mom, who's like, oh, the computer's going slow. It must be the internet. No, mom, the computer's 12 years old. It's a bad computer. Kat, you forgot how to use a morpher because you're a mom now.
Mom, I know you're not listening because I don't think you know how to, but I love you.
I also love my mom, but mom, don't listen to my podcast, especially maybe this one, none of the others, please. Do not listen to Cool Kids Table at all, just at all. Anyway, I love you, mom. Thank you for making me.
That's all we're really trying to say here is we love our moms very much.
And Kat is now a mom and doesn't know how to use technology, and I bet she can't play video games except for Tetris.
Or like solitaire. She loves playing solitaire on her Kindle Fire.
My mom rules at Free Cell. I bet Kat's probably pretty good at that, but not using her turbo morpher. They should have just given her the Zio morpher. You just slam your wrists together. Anyway, that's all for the news so far.
More on this story as it develops.
Okay, so Here's the thing. Maybe they're doing like one of each. That would be buck wild, right? One of each.
Yeah. I mean, it is for the 25th anniversary.
So
if they're going to do something cool, maybe do it this time. I know you totally botched the Legacy War.
Yeah. They beefed that one right up.
Maybe do it cool this time.
So if I don't think they're going to do one of each like 27 different seasons, but like one of each color maybe.
Oh, maybe.
And that's why they don't want to double up. But if they do only one color, then they can't do Adam is green because Tommy's green.
You're right. Adam would have to be black.
Yes. And you got to have Adam. It's Adam Damn Park.
I love you, Zach. You're a great Power Ranger.
Oh, he's wonderful.
But you're not Adam Park.
No. Who is? Nobody.
Only one person.
And it was Adam Park.
It's Adam Park.
But also, then why isn't Cat Zio? Steve Cardenas better show up, and he better be dumb. Your boy Tiki better be stupid if he's going to show up as Zio.
Well, if your boy Tiki comes back and is stupid, then Chad is out.
Then we can't have Chad. You can't have two stupid Blue Rangers. Oh, by the way, prime Chad is stupid moment in this one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'd like Carter or Kelsey or Dana from this season, if we're doing just one of each, Blue Sky Imagineering.
Right.
Damon from...
I think Damon.
From Lost Galaxy.
Or they'd probably get...
Carone?
Yeah, Carone.
Maybe,
but that's another pink. So I don't know if they'll do that.
Damon's another green. So I don't know if we don't know what they're doing. We only know there's these three. So either they're going to do one of each color or one from every season, which I would love. But
or just these three.
Or just these three.
It's weird though, because this is the first time Kat has been back since Turbo.
Yeah, Catherine Sutherland did like a voice in Lost in Space or something. I don't remember Lost Galaxy, a voice of a monster somewhere. Yeah. But like, yeah, she hasn't been like back since she left.
So I feel like this is the season that we get those big gets.
Yeah.
But
get Billy.
They fucked up because they did Turbo Cat. So what's going to happen with Justin?
Can't do Justin.
Justin would be one to bring back.
Because he's like still old, but like he's like my age. He's around our age. He's in his like early 30s, late, you know, 20s, somewhere around there. But like, yeah, bring him back. But you can't because you got Turbo, or you're just bringing back all the people from the early Zordon era because you know you made the most money then.
And Wes
because he rules. And they're bringing Wes, and they're only doing one from each. That means that they're not going to bring Jen, who also rules, whom I love. And you'll hear all about it next season, everybody, constantly. I might like her more than Kat. I have to watch the season again. I'm not sure.
I can't believe we're that close to Time Force.
Right? Pretty stoked.
Time Force to me always feels like a way later one.
It's just nine. It's just the ninth one.
Feels like it's around the teens, the mid-teens.
No. Anyway, do you want to talk about this
I guess
episode?
We can talk about the episode.
Hey, spoiler, this is a bad one?
This isn't good.
It's not great, but we do need to talk about it because that's how the show works. And we already did once, but it didn't go well, so we got a second chance.
Yeah, we did talk about it once, but all our friends died, so we had to do it again.
So we
got to
do it again. So thankfully everyone's back. Maybe this time we'll be able to fly the plane better. So we started off with Carter doing flying. And he's doing flying, and he's doing it bad. And I have a big question about this, is why? Why is Carter doing flying?
He's flying around in a little red jet.
It's like a race car bed for a kid, but a plane.
Yeah, you lay
but
down.
But a Power Rangers plane.
You lay tummy down with your feet back into the plane area and your hands at the controls, and you have to bend your back and neck the wrong way to see
forward.
Yeah,
you have to like do like upward facing dog pose.
This is the most designed by a kid, like, I want to fly like Superman that they could have made.
Yeah, this would be really cool for like a Lego.
It does, though. One cool thing about this is it has a little window on the bottom
for when your
neck gets tired.
You can look
your
down
head droops.
If you want to look at your friends die. But Carter's doing flying, and this is just like the old Batman ride, not the roller coaster Batman ride. I don't know if you've ever been on the old Batman ride.
I haven't.
So you lay down on your belly, and they click the thing, they sandwich you in the thing, and then it like starts spinning this way, like around in a circle, and then like lifts you up. So you're doing like backflips, but you're laying down, holding on for dear life. When I was on it, people in front of us click, Eli, who my friend who I was with, click, me. People behind us, click, click. I was like, hey, wait a second. I didn't get a click. I'm pretty sure you need to do a click, though. No one heard me, though. Cool, everyone good? Just start it. And I was like, I'm going to fly off of this.
Oh, God.
And I'm going to land in Worcester, Mass. And die there in Massachusetts, of all places, in Worcester.
Oh, don't. If you're going to die in Massachusetts, don't do it in Worcester.
Not in Worcester, not in Lowell.
Not in Fitchburg.
They'll never find your body in Fitchburg. No.
Fitchburg. I don't know if you know, I'm from Massachusetts. It's a secret. Fitchburg is just a haunted graveyard.
Pretty much. My sister lives there. And every year, every time I talk to her, I ask her the same thing, which is, did you move out of Fitchburg yet? And every year she says, no. And I say, Jen, you can't be that poor.
I don't get it. I don't understand.
Jen, if you have a job, you can move out of Fitchburg. It's so easy.
Gardner's right there.
It's
not great, but it's better.
Gardner is right there. You keep living in Fitchburg, and I'm worried about you and my niece. So anyway, Carter's doing flying. It's overheating, and he has to eject because he's bad at flying. Because Joel's the guy who does flying.
How do you eject from this thing without snapping your back?
Sacrifices must be made. Well, what he does is he ejects by hitting the eject button and then slithering out and jumping off the plane.
And I guess it just like unhooks your ankles.
Yeah. If you crash in this, your spine is destroyed immediately.
There's no surviving a crash in this.
That eject button better work. So he ejects and he lands standing on the clouds. This is weird. Don't be doing that.
You know what's funny? It did not register with me as a weird thing happening. I was just like, yeah.
That's when I thought, something's hinky here. That's a classic joke from Tattoo Teen Daily Fighters from Beverly Hills. Overuses the word hinky.
Yes. That hot 90s phrase, hinky. Oh,
just the hottest.
All the kids were talking about hinky.
So he's hinking over. He's standing on top of a bunch of clouds, and I almost went into a Boston accent. I don't know why.
We talked about Massachusetts for too long.
Basically, if you... I said God in a hay, and like that's a gateway drug. Just to a Boston accent. So it turns out it's just Nick Arcade, and here's Phil, and he's got a dumb sweater.
It's just like you go to like a fancy arcade that has one of those roller coaster simulators in it.
Yeah,
it's like that.
Bobbles you around. It's like the thing outside a Market Basket where you put a quarter in, and you're like, let me sit on the horse for a minute.
Except if that was in a holodeck.
Yeah.
Then you have this.
The Nick Arcade projector behind it.
Right. Yeah, you forgot to get 3 coins at Sonic, you stupid idiot.
You dumbass.
You ever played a video game before?
Now you're
dumb
gonna
kid?
Die. Oh. Hey, we should have recorded it when we did it, but we went through and read all of the episode descriptions of Nick Arcade on Amazon.
One guy at Amazon cannot stand Phil Moore.
He hates him. But here's the trick, is he pretends like he likes him so he can be meaner about it, and he just melts his ass. Anyway, Joel and Dr. Fairweather are there. Carter says, hey, I'm bad at this. Joel makes it look easy. Like how do you make it look so easy? He's like, yes, I do. I'm very good at flying, which is leads me to my first... Well, maybe fourth or fifth question of this episode is, why is Carter flying the thing and not Joel?
I thought when it started that everybody got one and Carter was just having the hardest time.
But nope.
But no, it's just Carter.
It's a red one.
Yeah, that's why it's Carter's, because it's red. They ran out of other colored paint, and so Carter has to fly it.
They had a lot of red left over from all of the years prior where they just paint everything red and give it to the Red Ranger. Here's the thing, though. This is exclusively American. As far as I can tell, there's no Sentai footage of this in this episode.
There's like 1 second of it, but you can't. It's so far away, you can't tell what it is.
I think that was just bad CG that was American.
I don't know.
Is that the first shot where I was like, that's not painted green? I can't tell what color that is.
It's when it like launches out of the base.
Yeah. I honestly think it looks
like Sentai footage, but it's also completely silhouetted and could literally be anything but this plane.
I think what it is, if anything, is footage of the thing opening and them launching out a robot that they just stuck a little plane sticker on.
Is this Carter's muscle butt jet?
I think maybe. And it sucks.
I don't like it.
It's bad. It's a bad design. It's ugly. It's really clunky. And also, it makes my spine hurt when he slips into it.
Yeah.
Like he just has to, like... It's like when you're at a sleepover, and you're like, I'm not going to unzip my sleeping bag. I'm too cool for that. I'm just going to slide in it. Oh, I can't. It's getting a little wrinkled. Let me turn around and push myself in. Oops, I pushed my whole sleeping bag down to my feet. Now I got to worm my way up.
I wasn't cool, so I just unzipped my sleeping bag.
I don't know why I took it as a challenge as a kid.
I can just see you sleeping over your buddy's house, and it takes 10 minutes to go to bed because you just can't undo the zipper.
And then, like, it's on. No, it's like,
you gotta wiggle in. Because I'm also, this might not be true, but I'm also picturing no hands.
Oh, well, you know, so if you don't have to use hands, first of all, unzip it for dads. I'm not going to do that.
What you got to do is you got to find a way to stand it up so you can just pencil dive right into it.
Get on a bunk bed.
Two of your friends hold the side of it.
Jump off the couch. Land. Slip, because it's very slippery on carpets. Slide.
You just land right on your ass. Slide and roll to your pillow. Slumber party 101.
Oh my God.
I can't tell if I'm crying or sweating out of my eyes.
I don't know. My AC just turned off. And it's not the temperature that it should be in here. I just imagine it just sliding right into a TV.
So once you're in that thing, you're just on a slip and slide.
Yeah, oh, there's no coming back from that. And we're back from a quick intermission because I couldn't stop giggling.
We had to compose ourselves. We're fine.
We're fine now. So
that's the first time we've had some giggle fits. That's the first time I think we've had to just stop.
I had
to get up and leave.
I did have to walk away to throw away a tissue because I had to blow my nose. So Carter, it says Joel makes it look easy. Again, it should just be Joel because it's American footage.
You have a flying guy.
You got a guy who flies, and they're just doing tests. Why wouldn't you have the pilot do the tests on the plane? Why are you training a new man to do it when you got a sky cowboy right there?
Hyper efficiency, I think, is what they call that.
That makes a lot of sense. That's exactly what hyper efficiency is, I think. So Dr. Fairweather says that tomorrow... you had to fly the real one, even though you just crashed and died in the simulation.
Yeah, and Joel's like, you're ready.
You'll be ready.
No, he's not. That's what this simulation is supposed to determine. Yeah. And I think he's pretty handily not ready.
You know, when you go to flight school, if you crash the day before you're supposed to fly a real plane, they just go, no, just try it with a real plane.
You'll be good, man.
You'll be fine.
You're ready to go.
Actually,
out there.
No, usually you have to make sure you don't die in the fake one first before they let you do the real one, unless you're in light speed. Why is there such a time constraint on him having to fly it, other than the stupid episode that has to happen after this? So we got the theme song. When we cut back, we're in the mess hall. Chad and Dana and Joel are at the table, and Chad's like, do you think he'll be ready to fly the experimental rescue plane flight? I don't remember what he says. It's some very canned line. I don't remember. I don't even know what this dumb thing is called. The sleeping bag. We'll just call it the sleeping bag.
Joel is confident that he is ready.
He's like, yeah, he's got some kinks to work out, but like...
we'll figure it out when we get out there.
He'll be good. We'll do it live. It'll be fine. So then... Carter comes in. He's like, hey, Ace, come sit over here. And so he's like, yeah, of course I'm going to sit with my three friends.
The only people here I know.
The only people I talk to on any regular basis. So he sits down, and Dana goes, this is a good one. Which is how you know you're about to hear a bad joke. There is a 100% chance you are about to hear a bad joke if someone says, this is a good one.
And they lead it off by going,
no, it's going to be bad. Here's the joke in its entirety. Why did the dog put on a sweater?
I don't know why.
Because it's a chili dog.
That was me slapping my knee. How funny the joke was. That is like, you remember Scholastic book fairs?
Yes.
And you could buy like 101 funny jokes for kids.
Oh, yeah, 100 great yuck-em-ups.
This is a page one funny joke for kids.
Yeah, this is a joke that a literal baby would tell you, and you would laugh at because like a baby told a joke. Like, oh, this 3-year-old learned how to read recently and told me a joke. I better laugh.
He's telling the joke, and they know it's a funny joke, but they don't know why.
Yeah.
Because they're a dumb little baby. Because
they're babies, and they can't eat chili.
They don't know what chili is.
It's too spicy for them.
If a baby sees chili, they just think it's beans.
This is just beans. Or they're a big Sonic fan of the show.
Sonic the Hedgehog doesn't even like this joke.
No.
He loves chili dogs.
He loves chili
dogs. Much.
But this joke is bad.
That it is in multiple continuities that he enjoys a chili dog.
The best part about this joke is that everyone looks at Dana like she has three heads, or more accurately, like she just told a very bad joke.
Yeah, and she's cackling like a serial killer to herself about chili dogs.
She's like, I thought it was funny. And I was like, it wasn't. Never say that joke to me again.
Burn that newspaper that I guess prints jokes.
There's just the jokes page. There's like, yeah, you got your sports, you got your travel, you got your obituaries, you got your jokes in that order. Because once you do see the obits, you're going to be sad. You want a good joke about a chili dog.
At least it's not a family circus.
Family circus is the worst. It's just like, PJ stepped in the garden again. That's it.
Oh,
that's the story.
What a kid he is.
That's the, and I know this didn't make it to air because it was like in between after watching the episode, but it's like a promoted tweet. It's just like a lady going every day. That's a family circus. The family circus is that.
Yeah, it's a promoted tweet after you've blocked every corporation on Twitter.
I'm starting to get some weird ones. It's getting real fun.
I've gotten a couple. I had to block regular f***ing people off my Twitter because of their promoted tweets.
Also, hey, everybody, cool tip for Twitter, because it's kind of like garbage now. Like, I still am on there because like I talk to a lot of people on there, and I'm trying to make the best of it. But here's a way to instantly improve your Twitter experience. Every time you see a promoted tweet from a corporation, block it. Doesn't matter who it is. Oh, I like the Arby's does the anime. No, block the anime fries. Block Target. Block Walmart. Block Amazon. Block every bank. Block airlines. Everybody. Block them. Every last one. Because at the very least, you have to block something every 5 or 10 minutes, it seems like. And that's a fun activity you can do on Twitter.
Then you'll just get weird old people who, like, I think promoted a tweet by accident.
Yeah, they're like, I'll just put my social security number and credit card in here. And then Twitter will show Jake and Josh in Austin, Texas, me doing nothing.
It's just a picture of me every day.
Every day. What does that mean, Linda?
You're on blast now, Linda.
So Kelsey skates in and immediately knocks a bunch of cream corn onto a chef / waiter.
This dude does not have a real mustache, right?
Oh, no, it's very fake.
Okay. I thought that was going to matter.
No.
But it doesn't. He's in disguise.
It's just to protect his identity.
He has one line later. He says, like, thank you or something. So I think he's, like, someone from, like, the crew that they were just like, put this mustache on so no one recognizes you, Judd.
No, we got to give Judd. We can't just put Judd on here. But it's Judd's birthday, and he wants to be on the Power Rangers. Just put him in a mustache, have him spill some cream. Nobody else wants a cream corn steak all over their pants.
It's not just cream corn. It's like cream corn and oatmeal.
It looked nasty.
It's gross. It's just slop. It's like prison slop.
It's prison slop. Only the finest here at Lightspeed. So
Joel and Carter have to go because it's flying time.
It's time to earn you your wings. Let's leave so we don't have to clean this up. And then Chad, you noticed it. I didn't see it until after. Chad is very, again, Chad?
We get,
it's just kind of stupid.
Before we drag him.
Okay.
We get a nice voiceover of, hey, let me help you with that. And Dana also, like, bends down to help clean it up.
Because they're buds, they're friends.
Here's how Chad helps Kelsey pick up some cream corn oatmeal.
It's sloppy, wet cream corn.
He starts scooping it up with a fork.
You don't even eat it with a fork.
He just had one for whatever he was eating, a chili dog, probably.
Probably. Well, what happened was, Dana grabbed all the napkins. Chad said, well, I was going to help. But you have all the napkins. So I'm going to
scrape it together with this fork.
I'm going to squeegee it into one place so you can pick it up with all the napkins that you took. So they go to get his flight certification and probably die in a fiery crash because
they go to kill Carter.
They go to murder Carter with a sleeping bag plane. And they get in the room and Dr. Farrell is like, okay, here's what's going to happen. We're going to test all these things and then you're going to do like a little flight path and you're going to come back and you're going to land. It's going to be fine. And he's like, cool, sounds easy and fine. Even though, you know, I blew up a make-believe version.
I could not do this for fake yesterday.
It wasn't, there's not even real stuff. I just couldn't get it to work.
It was a fake plan and he could not move the controls.
He just did it so bad he had to jump out on the clouds. So
that's okay. This part gets a lot more frustrating in just a couple minutes.
Yep, so if this seems very tedious, you're right. He morphs. He gets in the plane. This is when we see him sleeping bag his way in for like the first time. And it's just it's so bad. So he takes off and there's literally no reason this isn't green other than they want Carter to be the main character of this episode and save the day. So the engine malfunctions. It sounds, this is the sound effect I would put in here if Carter was shot by someone else. If some foreign agent, some red baron, but a demon, shot Carter's plane, I would use the sound effect they used. No one shot him. Engine just blew.
I want to get ahead of the episode a little bit, because it feels an awful lot like they're setting up a lot of different things, and they did not have the time to pay any of them off. Which makes this episode bad.
Yeah. It's, again, this is a pretty bad one.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about
They could have fixed it, but they only do the thing one time.
That's the other thing.
That's the problem.
They don't even go try again. Like, there's no reason for it to just do one. And we'll talk about it at the end. There's a major problem with just the entire conceit of the episode.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that at the very end. So, engine malfunctions. Dr. Farrell was like, hey, find a place to land. She's in communication with him on his comms. She's talking to him right now. Keep that in mind. Right now, she's talking to him.
And looking at him on a screen.
Yeah. She's got him on radar, on video, from somewhere. It's fine. Okay?
Magic Ranger vision.
At the same time, there's a monster attack. So, he being Joel, Joel is still in the room, goes, all right, we got to go. Next scene, Olympias and a mantis with an infinity symbol, who I'm calling Infinimantis, are walking through downtown just blowing stuff up, being evil villains. We will never get a name for Infinimantis.
Nope.
Infinimantis has an infinity symbol on him. As you may surmise from the tediousness of the first part of this episode, what will happen in the second part of this episode. But I will just assuage your fears right now. Mantis has nothing to do with it.
Or if he does, they never tell us.
They never do. And it makes no sense if he does.
Also that.
So Carter checks the engine because Dr. Farrell's like, hey, again, on the ground, Carter, where he is, checks the engine or the whatever, the fuel sensors, the blah, 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 blah. He's got a thing. He jabs it with a needle. It goes, oh, and then he like moves something. So then the others are getting beat up by Olympias and Infinimantis. They're like, we need your help. He's like, cool. He slides in and he unmorphed at some point and his jacket is on the wing of the sleeping bag.
Yeah, you have to be morphed to fly it, but you have to be unmorphed to fix it.
I guess.
Because when you're morphed, you got these clumsy hands.
Yeah, these big old clumsy hands. You don't want to get grease all over your suit. So he, I guess, morphs again and jumps in. And he tries turning it on, and it stalls. And this is actually pretty neat, is he stalls the episode out. Because like he's like, and then it fades the commercial real quick, like as he's stalling. That's a really neat trick. He comes back. He gets it working. And he flies away, but his jacket flies backwards and lands on the ground.
Yep.
Now, that's just important for later. And I don't know what else to tell you about this jacket right now.
Just remember, it's on the ground by a rock where he landed.
Yep. So he starts flying back to where the Rangers are in town. And is it now that Dr. Fairweather can't get a hold of him?
It's in a minute because the Rangers start getting their butts whooped and they're like, Carter, come help us. He flew off and they're getting their butts whooped. They're like, where's Carter? He's not here yet.
Where? Yeah.
And then it cuts to Dr. Fairweather. She's like, Carter, where are you? It's like, you can just pull him up.
Call him? On the communicator thing? Like, so we cut to the Rangers fighting. Chad has his power booster and he's like 845 and like does some punches and kicks. And then they call the rescue bird. And then I think this is when Dr. Fairweather is like, where is he? And then we just like get this little split and then we cut back to the rescue bird flying in and Olympias pulls out like a compass with like a fish hook on it or something. And he's like, and he zaps the rescue bird and it drags it over to him
with like a red energy net, like catches it and fishes it in. And Chad tries to jump and grab it because he's the one that called it. Because I guess Chad is the leader when Carter's not there.
Everyone is second in command sometimes.
Yeah.
I think it's Chad right now.
Which is weird because he was like partnered off with Joel for this episode. So
yeah.
It's weird to me that Joel's not in charge during the fight.
And also, it's American footage, so you can do whatever
you
need to. You
can just do whatever. But he can't get it in time. So Olympias now has the rescue bird.
Yeah. It's in gun mode, and he uses it to kill them all.
Yeah, he says, I'm going to use this gun and shoot you. I finally did it.
I finally got the cool gun, and I'm going to kill you.
And Dana, who's out of options, I guess, is just like, please don't do that, Olympias.
Hey,
like,
instead, don't shoot us.
We'd appreciate it if you didn't.
He's like, no, and he shoots him. As Carter is like pulling up, and he sees...
Yeah, we did cut back to him at one point, and he just like... punches the dashboard. He's like, I don't have enough speed.
Ugh. And he can see them on the little monitor. And then he looks down through the window and he sees them die.
Yeah. Because they get blasted. They land in the rubble and they just collapse and die.
And then a weird thing happens. And if you've watched anything ever and looked at the title of the episode, you can probably figure out what's about to happen. He gets time chasered back to yesterday.
Okay, here's the problem, though. Okay. No, never mind. There's no problem. That was yesterday.
Yes.
I was going to say this is still today, but no, it's not.
It's not a full day.
It's not 24 hours
it's like
later.
Maybe 15 hours. Not even. It's like 12 and a half.
This part is
nine,
neat.
Maybe.
I think this part is neat because he watches his friends die.
Yeah.
His plane starts to spiral out of control. It slips into like a weird worm time travel hole. And he comes out of the simulation.
Yes.
I thought that was neat.
That was pretty cool.
The rest of this falls immediately apart.
Yeah.
It doesn't fall apart. It's just like there's a lot of stuff that's like, you're going to see how this is going to be different this time.
Yeah.
But it isn't.
And I just had a thought. And as I was about to say it, I realized, no, because of the jacket, the only way this episode could have worked doesn't. Because of that damn jacket. So, Carter's back at yesterday. He pops out of the simulation. And he's like, he jumps out and is freaking the entire way out.
Yeah, Joel's like, hey, man, calm down. It's a simulation. And Carter is shocked. He says, you're alive.
You're alive. And he's like, yeah, I'm alive. It's simulation.
Which, they actually died. Four of Power Rangers were killed in this episode. It doesn't count, but it happened.
But now there's a timeline where Carter's the only Power Ranger left.
Is he? Or did he leave? Is this the Kid Link timeline?
Okay, yeah. Now you're right. Now there's another timeline where there's just four dead Power Rangers and no sleeping bag and no Carter.
And Carter disappeared.
That's so wild. So in the very beginning when Carter came out and he's like, whoa, that's so crazy. Joel does say something about how, like, hey, simulations seem real, really real, but they're not. Like, don't, you know.
Right.
Like, obviously, you're not a baby. You should have some sort of object permanence to be able to tell that. But now he's freaking out. And so when Joel says it again, it, like, makes a lot more sense. He's like, hey, it's just a simulation. And it looks real, but, like, you know, it's not. Then Dr. Fairweather says, "Are you, like, tomorrow you got to fly the thing. Are you going to be okay? Because you're kind of freaking out right now."
He should have said no.
Yes.
I'm not going to be okay. Look at me. I'm so sweaty.
He is about as sweaty as we are right now.
Yeah, we're pretty sweaty.
So at this point, it's a little ambiguous as to whether or not he knows what happened. And maybe they're trying to sell it as that all was a simulation. But
so from the end of the first simulation,
yes,
to the so breakfast, the joke, everything.
Everything so far has been part of the simulation.
That doesn't work though.
Because of the jacket.
Because of the jacket, and we go to the mess hall and they do all the simulation stuff for real?
Yeah. So the simulation is psychic and can figure it out.
I think what they wanted to do was this was going to be him going through a series of simulations until he did it right.
Yeah.
But instead, they were like, we only have time to go back once.
Oh, we actually did a whole episode's worth. We just can do it again.
We wrote a whole Groundhog Day, but we can only go back once.
Yeah. Which is tricky, right? Like, that's totally fair. Like, it's a hard thing to figure out, but at the same time, don't try to do it if you're going to do it super bad.
Yeah.
So then we cut to Carter sleeping, and him and Joel are in they share a room. They're on bunk beds. Chad has his own room or is off to the side, and the boys all have to share one room.
Or it was like Chad and Ryan, but Ryan
No,
left.
Ryan has his whole own room.
Oh,
remember?
You're right. He's the first son of Captain Mustache.
Yeah, he has special treatment. So Carter has some nightmares about what happened, you know, his friends being murdered, all that traumatic stuff. And he like shoots out of bed, he's like, huh, huh. And then we get to the next day, where Chad is telling Joel about, he's like, is Carter going to be okay for the flight thing? And then Carter comes, and Joel says the same thing, and then Carter comes in, and he's like, hey, Ace, and Carter comes over. It's the same thing again. Like, we don't need to talk about it. We'll just talk about, like, the differences. The few differences. He sits down, Dana goes, huh. This is a good one. So you know it's going to be a bad joke. And it's the chili dog joke. It's the same thing. But this time, Carter's like, because it's a chili dog. And she's like, how did you know that? Why did you ruin my joke, Carter? I just read it in today's
she's
paper.
She's so mad that someone else heard this dumb baby joke.
This joke for babies. For literal children.
There are kids watching this show. They're like, that's a stupid joke for babies. This and they themselves are basically babies.
And you know what? There are younger kids who heard that joke and lost their damn minds because it's the funniest thing they've ever heard because they've only been alive for 4 years.
They've only heard the phrase chili dog because their older sibling was watching Sonic on Saturday.
That's it. Nothing else.
They think it's funny because they remember Sonic and how he's a funny teen with attitude.
He's like, you're too slow and he loves a chili dog. Give me my fast chili dog. I'm Sonic the Hedgehog. Would you like to see my OCs of you? That's the table's turn.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Everyone's got a Sonic OC. Sonic's got an everyone OC.
Oh, no.
Sonic just drawn Sonic the Human.
Sonic the Josh. And Sonic the Jake.
So if anyone wants to draw that, just go ahead, send that to us, please. Next.
I'm scared of what might come out of that.
Yeah, me too. But hey, we talked about wieners a lot last episode, so like, what's the worst that happens? So also, Carter's got dumpy jeans. I just want to point that out. He's just got a dumpy butt. He looks like a lunch lady butt. It's like they're not very flattering. I know that that's like the style at the time, but like it looks like he's wearing like a smock that they fashioned into pants real quick.
He's got genie jeans on.
Yes. And a completely flat butt. Then Kelsey skates in. She's like, hey, guys. And she goes to skate in. And Carl's like, no. And he jumps up. and he grabs the cream corn because it smelled bad. It was all over the place. It looked disgusting. He's like, I don't want to deal with that again. So he jumps up. He grabs it out of the way. And the guy's like, thank you. And that's his line.
That's his line.
That's Judd's line.
The only thing I can think of, now that I'm thinking about it for a minute, is that they dressed up the chef a little bit extra so you would notice him for when he came back.
That might be it. And they gave him a weird mustache because like, oh. But like, they've done this episode a bunch. I think they do one every season, it feels like. But like, this is the worst version.
It's not a good one.
Then he goes in. They give him the spiel, you're going to do the thing, and then the flight path, blah, blah, blah. And and they're like, all right.
Oh, we need to say, when Dana told the joke, he says, you told that yesterday. She said, I couldn't have. It was in today's paper.
Yeah.
And this is when it, like, clicks. It doesn't click all the way here. He looks at the paper, and it's for today, and he's like, no. Oh, man, Carter, this is today's paper. I wonder what that could mean.
Carter doesn't get it until he sees his jacket.
Yeah.
Is Carter also a little stupid?
He's kind of stupid.
Okay.
At least in this episode, he's a big old idiot.
He picked, this should have been a Chad episode if you're going to be this dumb. Or maybe a Joel episode if you're flying a plane. I don't know. A lot of options. And they just went with the weirdest one. So he gets in there and he's like, all right, cool. Everything seems to be fine. Then his engine blows up.
I got mad at him because Dr. Fairweather was like, are you ready to fly? And he was like, yeah, when he should have been. You want to just give the engines a once
over?
Can
you look at something in there just real quick? But no.
But no, he just gets it and flies it again.
And this time it's going great. And he's like, yeah, everything's going fine. Except he doesn't really know that he did it yesterday. He just thinks the simulation, maybe, I don't know. It's very confusing.
He's very confused, even though the paper is for yesterday, but it's today.
Again? Or is it yesterday again? Whoa! So he is like, yeah, everything's cool. The engine blows up. And he's like, ah, oh, beans. And Dr. Farrow's like, you better land it. And he's like, okay. So he lands again. And she's like, check the power circuits. So he does. Very quietly. And very slowly. There's no sound. It's just him.
He doesn't do anything to it this time, right?
No, he doesn't.
That's weird.
He's just looking at it and he's like, oh, this feels familiar.
That's the difference between yesterday's yesterday and today's yesterday.
Yeah.
Is that instead of trying to fix it, he just didn't do anything.
No. And then he sees his jacket and he goes, I knew it wasn't a simulation because my jacket's still here. So what?
How?
Why then?
How can your jacket still be here if it was not on you? That would be like, oh, I shook Joel's hand yesterday and he's still here, so it can't be yesterday
it
again.
It can't be Joel. He's still got hands. What? No, what? No.
I don't get it. I thought they were setting up with like the engine exploding that like that is what tripped him through time last time.
Literally, the only thing we get about this is Dr. Fairweather in both times says something about, like, these readings are weird. That's it.
Yeah, these aren't right.
That's it.
But even when he does good the second time, the readings are still not right.
Yeah. So, why?
I don't know why this episode is.
I don't either. So then he hears them call for help because that's going on again. And then he calls for Dr. Fairweather, but they're all scrambling at the Aquabase. So she doesn't hear him say, call him back. Don't have him engage. Just get him back.
And so for some reason, nobody can hear him.
No.
Like the other Rangers, even in their helmets, cannot hear him because he also says, don't call the rescue bird.
Yeah.
And so Chad calls the freaking rescue bird.
So the other thing is, we get a shot when we cut back there to be like, oh, he can't, like, she can't hear them. It's a shot of the microphone that Dr. Fairweather talks into as if the sound also comes from there. And the television show Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue is suggesting that no one's at the microphone to hear
it. It's a two-way microphone.
Oh, of course. So this time, she says, we maxed out the battle boosters. Chad grabs battle booster. He goes to, like, he hits, like, 4-5, whatever, 8-5-4. And then this time, Olympia steals that and puts the battle booster on himself and starts punching the hell out of people. And so that's pretty bad. Carter takes off without...
But so This pisses me off, too, because now we've gone back to yesterday.
And it's different.
Things are different that Carter has not interacted with.
Yeah. The only difference is that now Dr. Fairweather is not near the microphone.
And but why?
No idea.
She just decided on this yesterday to do it different.
So he's punching everybody. Olympia's punching everybody. Carter jumps in, sleeping bags his way into the sleeping bag, and he takes off. Without fixing it or even looking at the engine even a little bit.
And it's fine. He's going so fast now.
It's totally cool. He's going fast. Everything's great. They call the rescue bird. It gets snatched again with the weird fish hook compass thing. And
oh, there is also one other difference during the fight with either the baddies or with the mantis. On the first day, Dana got kicked back into like a barrier, like back first and bent over backwards.
It's like a big old beam thing.
Yeah. This time, she takes that bump, comes back, and gets kicked over it.
Okay, so they're doing worse.
They're doing worse.
Why?
I don't know.
Carter's jacket's the only thing that's different.
And also, he didn't fix the engines, so they still work.
This is the jacket from Out of Time. And the engines that just repair themselves, you know, like how mechanics do.
Yeah, if you just, like, turn it off and let it sit long enough, it will grow, it'll heal.
Yeah.
And then you can fly it again.
Yeah, it happens with cars, it happens with computers. Everything does this. You just got to leave it for a little bit. So he, like, is flying towards them. The rescue bird is flying towards them. It gets nabbed. Chad jumps and goes to grab it. And I thought, oh, is Chad going to get it this time? No, same thing. He gets it. Olympias gets it. He goes to shoot him. But this time, Carter's there faster.
He made it.
Why? I don't know.
Because the jet works.
Better?
I don't know. Last time he put his hands in there, he gunked it all up.
This episode sucks.
He put his hand in there, and he switched the switch from present to yesterday.
Oh, that's what happened. This time he kept it on today and let him fly faster. So he gets there, he shoots him, and then he shoots missiles, and it misses. And so he's like, let me do a lap. And he does like a cool lap and shoots him again. And he's like, see you guys later, and flies away. He just leaves.
So Olympias, instead of killing the Rangers, chases Carter.
Yep. And it's Star War, and he's...
Oh, no. He Carter is chasing the Mantis.
The Mantis ran away. The is Mantis Carter chasing just, Mantis?
Yeah. The Mantis ran up, because I remember he shoots at him, and he misses. And then he does a loop and shoots
that,
him better.
That's, I thought he was shooting at Olympias when that happened.
So no, that's the Mantis.
Okay. Yeah. Now, Infinimantis has an infinity symbol, time, infinity. You know, you might think the Mantis is doing it. That makes no sense either because... They won last time. Why would you help? That's dumb. That doesn't make any sense. So he's chasing after him. Olympias chases after Carter. So they're doing a Star War, and he does that, like, narrowly go through the thing. But I don't know. I looked down. I didn't care. I'm so checked out of this stupid sleeping bag plane. I hate it.
Olympias looks stupid flying because he's just a guy on some fish line.
His wings aren't even flapping.
They're not even flapping. His feet aren't even angled backwards. They're just pointing down at the ground.
Like a dip.
He just looks like a dude hanging in front of a green screen.
You know why? I think it might be. So then he shoots Mantis and Mantis dies. And Olympias is like, crap. And then he leaves.
And he gets, he does that like drop down and let Olympias fly over him.
Right.
And then Olympias is like, well, you're going to shoot me from back there, so I'm just going to leave.
I'm going to go. And Mantis is dead. Carter lands and he goes, thank goodness for
No, they go to land. I remember because I laughed at how stupid Olympias is. Carter starts to nosedive to the ground.
Sure.
And Olympias chases him. Carter's able to pull up, but Olympias just hits the ground and rolls down a hill.
Carter pulls a Brooklyn from Gargoyles. Yes. That was Brooklyn's go-to moves. Remember, something's chasing after him. He gets close to a building or something. It flies up real quick, and they hit the building. So, long story short, Olympias is gone. Mantis is dead. Carter is parked and goes, thank goodness for this new toy. Kids, ask your parents. Take you to your local KB Toys and buy this sweet sleeping bag plane.
I can't even remember the name of this stupid jet.
I don't even think they gave it a name.
It's the MAV, but I don't know what that stands for.
The mobile armor vehicle? There's no armor from the top.
No. Well, you got the high ground. You're in a plane.
Well, sure. You're in a death sleeping bag. Sleeping bag.
Dr. Fairweather's like, what if I low key try to murder Carter?
Okay, is she possessed by the devil? And she's like, I think I might be able to kill him. At the very least, she's gonna kill him over time by giving him terrible back problems.
It's gonna suck when he's 30.
So then they do a trap card, and Mantis get big, and he calls the Omegazords.
Yep.
So this means that separately, the regular Zords are the Omegazords, which I think is bullshit.
Yep. They come together into the Omega Megazord.
I hate that so much. This is a bad episode for every reason. So then they call the other Zords, because Carter's like, we got to do something. And Joel's like, do you have a plan? He's like, yeah. I'm going to call the Solar Zord. You know, our upgrade that lets us win. And then Chad's like, yeah, and I'll call the Super Train. That's interesting, Chad. Didn't that blow up in space?
Yeah, it did. So you think it's just a case of Chad being stupid. But no, the Super Train shows up.
It just pulls up. Cool. Guess Dr. Fairweather got it back.
It takes 3 Megazords to blow up the Infinimantis, who ran away from Carter in a stupid sleeping bag earlier.
He ran away from him. And also, there's no fight. Nothing happens in this fight, except for Mantis pulls out his little chain and sickle and starts running at him, and 3 Megazords show up and kill him. You didn't even try to kill him one time with one regular Megazord.
No. No, right. Chad was just like, or maybe it was Joel. One of them was like, we need more power. And so Carter was like, well, we have more power.
We have that.
We have solar power.
Yes, have some. So they kill Mantis.
They kill the Mantis.
We cut back to the demon lair at the North Pole, sitting on top of Santa's workshop. He's getting real mad about these demons, I can just tell.
But they're noisy upstairs, Nate. They're stomping all the time.
For sure. But he only needs to leave once a year, so he's like, I'll get, like, maybe on the 22nd, I'll ask if they can move their demon palace over. So Olympias apologizes to his mom, and she's like, I don't care. You're a disappointment. You suck, and I hate you.
So these demons from hell did not realize time shifted back 9 hours.
Olympias starts to say, like, this time he something. And I thought it was going to be like, we did a loop. But then I was like, no, because you won the first time. So you shouldn't have been in charge of looping.
Yeah.
So he doesn't know about the loop. Then he just said something about the plane. Like, yeah, he had a plane and I died. Like, I hit a ground like an idiot. And then she's like, oh, whatever, get out of here. He's like, all right, sorry.
You're grounded.
He's like, oh, okay, I'll go be grounded. I'm going to my room. That's where all my games are anyway. That's where I do gaming, Mom.
And you get in there and your mom took your games.
Oh, she took your Super Nintendo, you idiot. You proud fool. She's got your N64 now.
My Super Nintendo was in the living room.
Ah, sucker.
I got grounded once. I don't remember what stupid thing
I did.
What
could you have possibly done?
But she took my video games away, my mom. But she did
who
not.
You love?
I do love my mom very much, but she did not realize. I told her this already, so she knows.
It's
not
you confessed.
I had, and I hope everyone is sitting down, a Virtual Boy in my bedroom.
I was not ready for I thought you were going to say Game Gear.
And nope. It was a Virtual Boy that my dad got me for Christmas one year. I had exactly one game for it.
Tennis.
And for it was tennis. And for this week that I was grounded from video games, I played Mario Tennis on the Virtual Boy in secret in my bedroom.
You secretly ruined your eyes. Got her. So we got back.
I was very grounded. I don't remember what I did.
I don't know.
I was so grounded I had to play Virtual Boy.
That's ultra. That's a mega grounded. So we cut back to the lab. I don't remember what else is going on. Oh, right. Dr. Fairweather and Carter are talking, and she says we took out all the circuit boards and all the fuel whatevers and everything. We basically gave the entire inside a rehaul.
Yeah, we ripped the time travel out of it. Maybe. We don't know where it fucking came from.
Here's the cool thing about this episode. There's no reason for him to time travel. There's no explanation. There's no hints. There's nothing. Every time they try to give you an explanation, it's always about the simulation. But then they're like, no, but the jacket is real and still here. So you must have left your time jacket when you teleported through time for no reason.
Sucks.
So then the others come in. And they're like, hey, cool flying, Tex. And he's like, yeah, thanks. I had a great teacher. And Joel's like, yes, you did. Me. And it's very, I actually like it. It's a good line from Joel.
Yeah.
And then they got him a present. It's a space cowboy hat of his very own. But two problems. Number one, it's brand new. And it doesn't fit on his head.
It's not his size.
It looks like he looks like a bad Indiana Jones.
Yeah. When he takes it, I was like 1 second away from saying, now you get to be a Sky Cowboy too. When Kelsey says the damn line.
Now you get to be a Sky Cowboy. And then he's like, ah, ha, ha, and he puts it on his head and it's a little small. And that's the end of the episode. And the time travel is never explained or mentioned at all ever again. Josh,
yep.
What's the best?
Oh, shit. For some reason, I thought we started with worst, and I was ready for that one.
Oh, I've got a good worst in the chamber.
The best is Chad picking up oatmeal with a fork. That's the best thing that happens in this episode.
I think the best is Chad picking up cream corn with a fork.
It was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
It was genuinely funny.
What I love about that too is Chad immediately goes, let me help you because they're friends.
Yeah.
But then all he's got is a fork and yeah, he's got to well, do what the, he's got
to
do.
All the material to help with was gobbled up by Dana.
Dana just grabbed it all. What's the worst?
The episode. The rest of the episode. Most importantly, the time travel and the he just did it once.
Yeah. It's so dumb. Because
you can tell. You can see it in the episode. There's so many little things that they were like, you know, we're either this is gonna be different or he's gonna change this.
Yeah.
But we only come back one time and he has no time to do the whole day right.
You have to do at least two resets.
He did not even take one piano lesson.
What you should do, and they did this before. They did this in that episode with when Tommy was doing the loops for, I don't think, a reason, but at least it was fun, so I don't care. You show everything the first time, and then you do it again where he goes, hey, this is going to happen, and then it happens, right?
Yeah.
And you do the third time where he prevents the stuff and he does everything the best way because he's seen it twice right now.
Or even if they just montaged, you put a faded picture of a calendar falling away, but the day never changes.
Something.
Right? And he's just like, you know, you see him catch the chef one time, and then you see him do something else. He asks Dr. Fairweather to check the engines before he goes out.
Yeah.
Just like, solve a couple of the problems you set up.
Yeah. It's so bad. The time travel is so bad in this, because it's just, like, just doing it the one time is infuriating. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what else to say about
it. They had the perfect transition from the day goes wrong when he's in the plane, so he comes back out of the simulation.
Yeah.
That's a very neat way to do it.
That's so clean. You can do that infinity times.
Yeah. Instead, they did it once. And they don't say why. They just did. So we are left to believe either he was so mad that his friends were dead that he traveled back in time to stop it, or that was a simulation and his jacket exists in cyberspace.
And he just left his jacket somewhere on accident once?
Yeah.
I hate it.
It sucks. It's bad.
Who's the MVP? I'm going to say I have an MVP. I think it's Joel for this episode.
Okay.
All the Joel stuff was really good. It was episode one Joel again.
This is the best Joel has been since episode one, yeah, easily.
Except for that cool pit stop with Simon, but then at the end it got gross. So, but yeah, because he's just there. He's like reassuring Carter, trying to teach him how to fly. And at the end where he's like, I had a good teacher, Joel's like, yes, you did. Like, it's really good. It's good, funny stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
everyone else sucked. Even Dr. Fairweather was bad because he just walked away from the thing for no reason.
Yeah, on a different yesterday of that was the same friggin' day, but it was different. I'm going to give it to Joel, too. Runner-up is Dana for that sick joke.
That, you know what?
That joke sucks. I don't even like that joke.
When we were watching this episode, she said that bad joke. I was like, that's my worst. It can't get worse than that bad joke.
Oh.
I wish.
Oh, Jake.
Well, I wish I lived in that timeline. So now we got to rank this festering piece of garbage.
It's the worst episode.
I'm just going to put it last.
I don't even need to ask you what the last worst is. This is worse than that.
The one above that is Wheels of Destruction. That was the one with the go-kart with the Viperari. The first one with the Viperari.
Yeah, this is worse than
that. This is worse than that. I don't remember what this episode is called. Yesterday Again?
Yep.
Coming in at number 23. I'm probably staying there. If there's Lord willing, the creek don't rise. It doesn't get any worse than this. Yesterday Again is the very worst. That's going to do it for us for today. What's the next one called?
The next one is As Time Runs Light Speed.
I swear to God, if there's another time travel episode right after this one, I'm going to be very upset.
Well, tune in Friday to find out. If there's no episode Friday, we quit.
It's because we stopped
the podcast. It's because the podcast is over because they did two bad time travels in a row.
So until then, maybe.
May the power protect you.
Come on.
As soon as I hit that button.